Welcome to 30-something gamers. Yes, it has been a while. That little bitch Boxy, he just... You know what it is? He took his ball and he left. I got a bit raw, didn't I? With his estate agent simulator. But the rawest I think we got, Boxy, was I mentioned that if you listen to it back, it's genuine irksome? I don't know. Where I mentioned that drummers aren't real musicians. And you can hear real venom and anger in his voice. Real anger. And that's why we've had a break. That's why we've not been around. He just said, creative differences. He needed a break. So I've been waiting. But I can't be arsed. I'm not waiting anymore. That episode I did on my own was really good. Numbers, everything, beat everything we did. So I just thought, fuck it, fuck them. I'm just going to do it myself. So we need to change the podcast name. It's going to be 30-something gamer, obviously. And I'm just going to go myself and deal with it. So if you didn't like me...
I have a few questions.
Oh, for fuck. How did you get into this Zoom call? How are you on here?
I heard you talking shit and need to put you in your place. So if you're running this project by yourself from now on, mm-hmm. does that mean that our loyal listeners get a free supply of cyanide pills?
Oh, you know what it is? This is the reason that I want to go on my own, because I just get constant abuse. I am the glue that keeps this podcast together, and you just get ratty because you fucking estate agent simulator.
You're the glue in the sense the glue that all the winos and the crackheads sniff down the back alleys late at night and see Batman and Robin every evening. That's all that you're good for.
Those winos and glue sniffers are our audience, so can you please put a bit of respect on the name?
Yeah, it's lovely to see you all again.
It was only joking. Yeah, we took a little break. We apologise for the break. Not for taking a break. If you're out there and you need a break, take one. We apologise for not really announcing it and just stopping the podcast as if we'd had like a Yoko Ono go, oh, come on, John Lennon, with your massive arse. Have we talked about John Lennon's massive arse before?
I didn't even associate John Lennon with having a big bum.
Right, well, John Lennon has the biggest arse you will ever see. Any listeners out there, you need to type in John Lennon, massive arse, right? There's a picture of him and Yoko Ono. Is it Yoko Ono or Yoko Uno? Ono?
Oh, no.
Ono. And they're sort of backwards to the camera. Oh, you can't... That's not going to thing.
Yeah, I can't see that.
Can't see it. I'll put it somewhere. But anyway... His crack is massive. It is the biggest crack you will ever see. How did I get onto John Lennon's arse?
As in the crack is in the line, or his ass meat is big?
No, the crack, the line, like, just keeps going. Like, it looks like you would have to, like, practically lie backwards on the toilet to take a dump. I don't know how I got here. Yes. Oh, yes, the break. We both had things that we had to do in our personal lives. They sort of came out of nowhere. And we took a little bit of a break and didn't really announce it. I mean, you put a video up on your TikTok, and I just didn't. Just fuck the listeners.
Yeah, because I did a video having a go at you and having a laugh and saying we're breaking up. And then you said on your WhatsApp messages to me that you were going to do your rebuttal. And I was like, all right, fair enough. And then days rolled on, weeks rolled on, and nothing came out. And I said, this is making me look like a bit of a twat here because you haven't said anything. And you're like, oh, all in good time, all in good time. And yeah, the time hasn't come. So what happened?
Well, it came because I had these creative juices going, and I still know exactly the video I was going to do, but it would take time and effort. And I don't know if I've, like... want to use time and effort on you. So I didn't. So, all my stuff is just squeaked out without any thought. And I had a really good idea and I thought, that's too much work. But this video that I'm talking about might be out, because I was thinking in my head, do I do the video just before I release this episode? Obviously, we're recording it now. and he's wild at editing that, I might post this video and I'll make you look like a bigger twat saying I didn't put a video when I did put a video.
Yeah, but that's continuity. That's terrible continuity.
We're not in the fucking MCU. We're two dickheads on a podcast, man.
Excuse me, there are people who follow this shit. They're going to know where the plot holes are.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, whatever. There's bigger plot holes than this.
I will say that, yes, we took the hiatus. Talking to our divorce lawyers, I mean, I wasn't going to get much of a payout if I left. I mean, with all the ad revenue we've generated, I'd probably earn about 12p. So 12p, I thought
you'd be lucky.
I thought I'd stick it out and wait for the really big payout. Maybe when we get to season 5, we might get, you know, a whole 50p out of it.
Or might we get 50 cent. Depends what the exchange rate is those days, what we get. Anyway, let's stop grumbling. We are back. Yes, we're going to continue on as normal. This is season 2, episode 13. Welcome in. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for waiting for us. And anyone who sent a message asking when we're coming back and stuff like that, it honestly warms me cockles that people actually care that we took a bit of a break. So thank you for that. And my review plea today is along the lines of our little breakup people thought we'd had. Can you remember back in the 90s when people didn't know what to do with themselves? They wouldn't ask a friend or an esteemed colleague. They'd write into a Bird in the Sun newspaper called Deirdre.
Deirdre.
People would write in with their problems. I'm assuming most of them were people thinking, let's see if we can get a letter published. Let's write some really crazy shit. But I've got a Dear Deirdre letter for one of our listeners who's missed us and just doesn't know what to do with themselves. And that's going to be my review plea. So are you ready?
So your review plea is going to be responding to someone asking where we've been. And yeah, now we've got a nice announcement saying we're back, and now you're begging people to give us 5 stars.
Well, I always beg to get 5 stars because you get nowhere. Shy Ben's getting out. So this letter is one of our followers, could we call them followers? Listeners, who doesn't know where we've went because no one told them, and they just don't know what to do with themselves, and this is what they would have wrote in the 90s to Dear Deirdre. So if we were around in the 90s, this is what people would have wrote. You ready?
I'm all ears.
Okay. Dear Deirdre, I don't know where else to turn. I'm a 30-something gamer, clinging desperately to my youth by clutching a dusty PS2 controller and pretending my back doesn't click when I sit down. I recently discovered a podcast, 30-something Gamers. It speaks directly to my soul. The hosts ramble, bicker, and laugh about retro games in a way that feels like being back in your mate's bedroom circa 1999, surrounded by empty Sunny D bottles and the faint whiff of Lynx Africa. The problem is this. Nobody's leaving reviews. Without reviews, the podcast risks vanishing into the void of the internet, like the one memory card you swore you left in the drawer and has lost forever. And I think it's got to my beloved hosts. I've not heard from them. And I'm sobbing and I yearn for them. So, Deirdre, what should I do? Should I beg strangers on the internet for leave a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever they listen? Should I tell them that it takes only a minute, but makes a world of difference to these two middle-aged blokes trying to convince themselves they're still cool? Please help. The fate of my childhood nostalgia depends on it. Yours desperately, a concerned retro gamer.
I mean, from the old impressions going on there, you make it sound like 85-year-old women are listening to us.
Well, hopefully that's the demographic I'm going for. But I feel like my voice started off as like a bit of a whiny man, and then went into that. I don't know. It the character morphed.
It was a very kitchen sink experience.
What's a kitchen sink experience?
Oh, come on. Seriously?
Never heard of it?
It's like the kind of Coronation Street 1970s sort of at home reality,
Oh,
salt of the earth type vibes.
so is it the like English version of a water cooler moment?
No, it's like they used to use it a lot in Alan Bennett plays, that phrase kitchen
Oh,
sink,
you know
like
what it is? We've been
grounded
away.
in.
You've not changed how they used to use it in Alan Bennett plays.
Well,
And
they
the
did. It was
I don't know. That's some references, and people are going to get that. Can
if you got.
I ask you about a phrase that I've heard recently that someone says, no, everyone who is English knows it. It's a Scot, right? Have you ever heard this phrase, and what does it mean? I'm showing me arse.
Is it like you're putting your emotions out?
No, have you heard it before?
No.
So see, this
Other
person was
than
like,
people who, other than people who are actually showing their ass, no.
just you've only heard it off people who were about to show you their ass.
Yeah.
All right, okay, so many people, but with the were, everyone knows this phrase. Everyone knows this phrase. I was like, no, and some of the people were saying, no, it wasn't. It means you're angry. Oh, I'm showing me arse. Apparently, it means you're angry.
No, I've never heard that.
No, and it doesn't make sense. And I was having this argument saying, if it's a phrase, if it's an idiom, I completely understand it, but I don't understand the logic. How is showing your ass angry? Surely it's like embarrassment.
Showing you're an asshole, but throw your toys out the pram.
I get that one. Well,
Seeing red.
I've missed our. We discuss little phrases constantly, don't we?
We used to in the early days. Do you remember when we used to
You
get
used to
really
make
caught
shit
up
up,
on
and you used
phrases?
to
Yeah.
make shit up.
Back to your Deirdre. I think Deirdre is still going.
Is she?
I have a feeling my in-laws by the sun, and I swear I see the Deirdre column. But most of the
Shoot.
time, it's interesting hearing your plea that someone's missing a shit podcast. Usually, it's middle-aged horny women saying, I'm having sex with the milkman. I think I love him, even though I don't like cheese.
Yeah, but I didn't want to come on with our first episode back and admit to everyone I'm shagging the milkman, did I? Do you know what I mean? Let's get a couple of episodes in before we raw dog the milkman.
Well,
Don't
it would explain why we've not been here.
have a. I've been trying to keep the house and the kids for oh, that would be me shagging the milkman. No, I don't know. I was going to say the kids look like the milkman, like, oh, and then it wouldn't really work if it was me doing it, would it? Anyway, let's move on. Let's get on to some video games. How far are we in now before we start talking about video games? Duh-duh-duh. At least 10 minutes. Great. You know the podcast, you know what it's like anyway. So this week we're going to be talking about what I've been playing, and it is a whole host of games because obviously we have been away for a while. I finished Expedition 33. Still game of the year for me. Just absolutely fantastic. All the way at the end. Didn't have like a damp squib ending. So honestly, Boxy, please play it. Please play it.
Well,
It is. Oh.
you'll be pleased to know I still haven't played it.
Oh, you dickhead. Have you bought it yet?
No, I haven't. But
Oh, you.
it has come down in price a little bit, so I may treat myself.
Put it on your Christmas list. Santa will bring it for you.
It's actually my birthday in 3 weeks, so it
Well,
might make an appearance there.
it'd be great if it came on your birthday because there'll be two things. Either you'll enjoy it and I can talk about it, or you don't enjoy it. And I'm really happy that I have forced you to get a birthday present that you don't like. And that would make me happy as well.
Thing is, you have hyped it up so much now that I'm the kind of pretentious twat who's like, oh, I don't want to like what the mainstream likes. So, but I'll go into it with a clear mind.
Honestly, do the whole story going through is just when you really get to the crux of what the story like theme and stuff going through is, it's amazing. I don't want to go over too much because I don't want to spoil anything, and I will be talking about it a little bit later on. I will give spoiler warnings when we get to that. But yeah, it's amazing. And then once we finish that, me off stream game at the minute because I have off stream games and stream games. It's been Helldivers 2.
Oh, yeah.
That dropped down at like 20 quid or something for the PlayStation, 22, 23 quid. And I've been playing that online with a couple of the community from my Discord, and it's been enjoying it. Like, don't have to think about it, stupid. Just go in, blow bugs up, blow robots up, and stuff like that. But really fun mechanics and great as a great to play as like sort of a group and a community. I jumped on just going to play. I thought, I'll just level up a little bit. I haven't got enough time to, like, I don't want to get loads of people into the game, and I'm only there for like 15 minutes. But other people obviously see when you're online. And I went into this place, and I think I'd upped a difficulty level, and I just was... If you're on your own and you don't like plan and you're not strategic and you haven't got the higher level items, which I was playing with people who had higher level items because they've been playing for a bit longer, you can get swarmed. And I got swarmed with all of these bugs, and I thought, right, this is it, it's done. And I've got a lad in my community called Gary. Hello, Gary, if you're listening, who's Scottish, very heavy Scottish accent. And obviously with Helldivers, it's called Helldivers because you're like firing in a pod from space and just like it comes up and you appear on the map. And I was like, oh, I'm done for. I've ran in, and all I heard was, help is on the way, dear. And this pod just came down, and he's much higher level, so just absolutely wiped out everything around us. And it's just little moments like that. It's really cool. And then on stream, we've been playing some games. We've been playing Def Jam Vendetta, which has renamed itself with my autocorrect a Definitely Jam Vendetta, which I think is a better name. That's like a jam version of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, isn't it? Definitely Jam. We've been playing Can I Skate a Minute, or Bully, if you're a prick.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm pretty sure you got your little jive trivia in there going, did you know that this was never called Bully in the UK?
Well, it's the whole way I draw people to my stream, because I made a video just before I started streaming and posted it, and lots of people just coming and going, oh, it's called Bully, I've got it, it's in me uncle's wank sock draw. But no one's, all those videos I've put out, no one's been able to prove it yet. No, everyone who said, I definitely had it called Bully on the PS2 in the UK, bullshit, you didn't. And if you're in the comments now, drop it and say you did, but until you can prove... I've actually put a video out saying I will give money, I think £100, to someone who can show me a British version on PS2 of Bully. And
yeah, they're thinking about the Wii version or the Xbox version, aren't they?
They are, or it was changed right up to, like, sort of the release date. I think it was only changed a month before, and it was called, obviously, Bully in the US. So loads of people will have seen all the press leading up to it, and it's a Rockstar game, so there'll be loads, and it was called Bully in all the stuff leading up to it. And as well as that, if you bought it probably down the car boot for your chip PS2 or whatever, which a lot of people did back in those days, you probably got an American cover with it, so probably said Bully on the front rather than Can I Skate a Minute. So there will be, it's one of those Mandela effect things, but people get very angry about it.
They do. Yeah, because you're messing with their nostalgia.
Yeah.
You're messing with their memories.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with my childhood, blonde twat.
But then, so in the comments, they're like, well, it might be called Can I Skate a Minute, but everyone calls it Bully, and it's a bull with Academy, and it was later called Bully, so it's just Bully, really, isn't it? I'm like, I'm not arguing. I call it Bully. Like, I know the game is Bully. I'm just saying, it's never been in a box in football. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to turn it to my TikTok channel.
I like talking about this game because trivia. Do you know what Canis Canem Edit means?
Dog eat dog.
Very good. I love that game, but there's some very questionable things happen in it. Did you stream the bit where you take photographs in the girl's shower room?
I don't think I took pictures in the girl's shower room. I did have to steal the knickers from the girl's dorm for the gym teacher. It's the teachers that are the wrong ones. Obviously, the kids are like stereotypes of bullies and preppy people and mods and stuff like that. But all the sort of teachers are just stereotypes of really wrong people, really wrong ones. You know what I mean?
Rockstar are good at doing that.
Yeah, and it was weird playing. And the reason I played it, I never played it as a kid. This was my first time playing it. And obviously, I've made decent money off the game through the content creator fund and stuff like that, because people, again, get very angry about it. And I thought, well, I've got to play it. So I did enjoy it. Yeah, it was a good laugh on there. And my favourite character is the really ugly dinner lady who just absolutely loves herself. And her request for a date was chocolates and basically Rehypnol. And you had to go out and get some chocolate and Rehypnol for a date. Which is absolutely great. She's got no shame. She's like, yeah, I'm going to have to drug him. It's a funny game. Well, Rockstar do that, don't they? They're great at like sort of pastiche and parody and stuff like that. So it's great.
Yeah.
We also played Fahrenheit, which is known as do you know what it's called in America?
Fahrenheit 451.
The book. That's a book about like firemen, isn't it?
Something. I mean, there's Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11. But I know which one you mean. It's Fahrenheit something. It's David Cage's first game, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah. It's called Indigo Prophecy in the United States. I don't know why. I don't know whether it's like, do you know, the Americans are really thick. They don't know what a philosopher is, so we'll call it Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. But Fahrenheit isn't like that. Maybe because they have temperatures in Fahrenheit, it would confuse them too much. Maybe they should have called it Celsius over in the States. That would have been far better. Not that they would have known what Celsius was.
Fahrenheit is a word that the Americans use, though.
Well, I'm surely Americans use the word philosopher.
Well, clearly not. Maybe I think they changed that because they couldn't make the connection of philosopher and magic, so they said sorcerer to just make it more obvious.
Yeah, probably.
But no, I haven't played Fahrenheit, but I do really want to play it. Because although I think David Cage is a bit hit and miss, like I think his early ones are much better than his later ones. And I think isn't the start of the game you witness a murder and you have to clean it all up before the police arrive?
And then I remember that scene. I was seeing it on stream, and drop it in the comments because we could make a feature of this in a future episode of Fahrenheit. A lot of the game I can't remember. In my head, I know this is mental, I was sure you had sex with the internet at the end. I know, and I put a video out saying, can anyone else remember this? Am I just making it up? And apparently I'm making it up. It's never happened. But I can't remember much of the game. But the start of the game, that scene, you basically get possessed in a like a little American diner, and you murder someone in the toilets, and then you come out of like the possession. And that's not a spoiler, it's like literally the first scene. And you have to clean it all up. You walk past a cop on the way in, so you have to clean it all up, and depending how you sort of clean it up and stuff, is whether you get away and stuff like it's all those decisions, like you know, like Heavy Rain type where you went on to make. And it is really cool. Like early on, there's a lot of janking, but it is fun to play. It's a great game to play on stream because there's just funny stuff in there and things you can do. Like, I spent 20 minutes trying to do a yo-yo trick in the detective's office that had nothing to do with the story, and you're just thinking, there's some fella lost their husband, some kids lost, and you're just trying to do the old cradle. I bet you were a yo-yo man back like in the 90s. Were you a
God,
yo-yo man?
you're giving your followers some quality content here, aren't you?
Well,
Spend
the reason
20
I
minutes just faffing around with some mini game.
well
Jesus
the,
Christ.
the reason I kept doing it is because you can switch between two detectives, and the other one's at home asleep, but when you wake up, his missus is there. So obviously, the quick time event everyone wanted was, can we get him go all the way with his missus? So we walk round. There's an icon with lips, which clearly means kiss. I thought, oh, we're gonna get a kiss. And you do it, and she's like, do you have to go to work? And boom, sex scene. And they've licensed a piece of music. It's like proper 70s, down, 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 like a real song. Court starts going, you can't see anything. It goes round the bedroom, and you hear her just moaning, but it's endless. Like, if you just take your hand off the pad, it will just go. And then eventually you press a button, and it doesn't end, it goes to back to the cop. So I thought, well, what happens if I switch back? And she switched back, and he's still going. And he's just, and honestly, I think it was about 20 minutes. So I came back, and I was like, right, I'm going to do yo-yo for a bit. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go back and see if he's going. I tell you what it is, he must have had one of those little blue pills because he was going all night long. And at one point, I was like, how do I advance the story? I cannot get out of this scene. So I was stuck in a David Cage sex scene where I couldn't see anything, just hear moaning, and the camera jiggled a bit. And I eventually, I don't know what I did, I eventually got out of it. But yeah. So if that sounds like your type of game, Fahrenheit for the PS2, great. And then we played a couple of newer ones. I played, I did a scare stream with Visage again. I hate it. I just hate scary games. I'm not going to go into it. It's just horrible. It's a good game if you like that thing, but it's just horrible. But what I do want to talk about is Stranglehold. Awesome game. Mm. I just did a 2-3 hour stream. Basically, in October, I'm going to stream Silent Hill 3. And then I'm going to do, I think, Eternal Darkness on the GameCube. So I don't want to start a new game because I'm not going to finish it. So I thought, oh, let's jump around some games. I'd actually played Stranglehold and Max Payne. I had a battle of the bullet times. But it's not called bullet time in Stranglehold. It's tequila time, which is weird.
It's John Woo. So
it is John Woo. It is so fun. I played that and Max Payne 3. Max Payne 3 was good, but I had so much more fun with Stranglehold. If you've not played it, is it on the PS3 as well?
Yeah, that's what I've got. Yeah.
Play it. It's so good. It is like you're getting shot multiple times, like because you're just running into it, but you just slide down banisters and you go into bullet time. There's so many things that you can shoot and it falls on them, and it's like made to be fun. Like on obviously your bullet time hardly ever runs out, and it just knows when to do it. When you press something that's cool, like to slide down a massive banister down like a back alley, it will automatically go into bullet time. Whenever you aim at a character and you're diving, you don't have to press a button. It's just like, let's have a really fun game. And I found out something about myself, both on Stranglehold and Max Payne. Whenever I go into bullet time and I'm taking a precision shot where I'll watch the bullet fly through, like on Sniper Elite, I will always go for the testicles.
Well, that says a lot about your psyche.
It does. Like, even if I pressed the aim button and it automatically straight between the eyes, I would spend the time and waste the bullet time gauge to get straight down on the Uncle Crackers.
Well, with that and some dude having sex with the internet, we're getting a real good look in your weird brain, aren't we? Yeah. No, Stranglehold is a great game. I like it when you can jump on the tea trolleys.
Yes.
And just zoom around on wheels.
Well, I found a tea trolley, but I'd took out most of the area and it was not near anyone. But I just kept diving on it, hoping someone would turn up, because I was like, I need a clip of me sliding on a tea trolley and shooting someone in the face. And it's just a cool game. It's really fun to play.
It's Max Payne without the writing, but a lot dumber and a lot more extreme and a lot more fun. I agree. I think it's more fun to play than Max Payne, even though Max Payne has a better story and everything.
Yeah. What I did realise about Max Payne 3, though, although it is, I do really love it, it is like 10 seconds playing, 20 seconds cutscene, unskippable. 10 seconds play. Literally, like, every next set of bad guys is a little cutscene that plays. And I couldn't remember that from originally playing it, so there you go. I only noticed it because I've tried recently. Someone told me, someone popped into my stream and said, when I was playing Bully, don't talk through cutscenes, mate. And I was like, I'm sorry, lad. Like, there's lots of like run-throughs of this game that you can watch if you want. Like, I'm more sort of chatting with the community, and he just replied with, "Do better." it was the best bit of like. And then I was like, "What?" And I clicked on him. I thought, "Is this some massive streamer?" It was some guy with like 150 followers. I was like, "Okay, I'll try and do better." But I am actually trying to talk less through cutscenes, and that's how I noticed how many friggin' cutscenes were in Max Payne 3.
I think ultimately you should just try a lot better, Tom. You should be ashamed of yourself.
It's now a thing in my streams. Every time I do something, people just type in, "Do better." It's just "do better." There's no fluff around it, just "do better." But so, yeah.
I got the other day, just show footage of the games. No one wants to hear your opinions.
See, now, if you are a content creator, okay, that is the wrong thing to do. I've made lots of videos with just footage, and they are good. But any fucker can do them, especially with emulation now. If you want to get bigger content creation, you can do that, but you're never going to get really, really big. You're going to have to talk. You're going to have to be on. You're going to have your personality, because you should be selling yourself, not the game. Anyway, rant over. That's what I've been playing. It has been a long time. People have been in the wilderness, in the cold. Their testicles have shrunk. Did ovaries shrink in the cold?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll find that out for next episode. The questions you once answered, 30-something gamers. Anyway, people have been waiting for the theme tune of all theme tunes, Boxy's Trivia.
We have missed it. Definitely missed it.
I have.
And we're just going to go raw with this one. No adaptions. Okay. No little tweaks. We'll just go cold. Ready?
I'm ready.
Da, 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 da. How am I supposed to know that?
Your accent hasn't got any better, and I wouldn't want it to.
The originals are always the best. So, yes, this is trivia. It's been a long time coming, but we are back, baby. This is my favourite part of the podcast, where we find out whether Tom is a true gamer or whether he's one of these posers who thinks that Kirby is some sort of knockoff trouser press. I'm
you like
so
that
proud
one.
Of that one.
I was going to say, I could see how much you were laughing. You
really have to be a 30-something gamer to get that.
I was going to say it. Or an Alan Partridge fan.
Yes. Yeah. Or an Aaron. Yeah. I've accidentally dismantled my Corby trouser press.
And I can't put it together. Will that be on my bill?
They were all the rage back in the day. You'd always get a trouser press in your hotel room.
I am a man who is adverse to an iron. I get told all the time at work. 10 years I've been working, then I've told them I don't iron. It's a waste of time.
It is. They said that millennials kind of got rid of ironing through time. You can just, if you have a tumble dryer, just set your tumble dryer really high and just burn those creases out.
No, I just go in looking like a bag of shit. But I'm just like, I haven't got time.
They're just used to that, Tom.
Yeah.
Anyway, because it's the first one back, I've actually put a bit of effort into this one, although you're probably not going to appreciate it because you never do.
Probably not.
So I thought what we would do is we'd look at some luggage. So like any character, human being, they all have their luggage, don't they? The things they take with them on the Jet 2 holiday, things you'd find in their wardrobes, things you find in their drawers. So we're going to open up some parcels and I'm going to name some items and you have to guess which video game character owns it.
Okay. Is this going to be better than the Tinder?
That was one of the best trivias we've ever done.
Right, okay. Let's see if I appreciate this one better.
I got so much good feedback off the back of that one.
Fuck off. No way.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm just going to read out. They've all got three items, and you just have to guess who owns them all. Right, are you ready?
Yes, let's go. This is interesting.
So let's open up this this big old bag. Okay, we've got some hair removal cream. We've got a box of fancy dress and a barcode reader.
It is Agent 47.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. He's probably going to Istanbul to murder somebody.
Probably Istanbul, the only capital in two continents.
Oh, there you go. That's your teacher coming out.
It is.
Okay, we've started off good. This is
already better than the Tinder, because the Tinder one, the clues could have been anyone. Like when you first said hair removal cream, I thought, oh, we're going the same way. But we got there. The barcode scanner was a good one.
Okay, so what we got in this one, this is a rustic old sort of thing. We got to do some straps with this one.
Wait a minute. Does the bag help me? The fact that it's a rustic bag?
There's a little hint, I suppose.
All right, okay.
Okay, we've got some old-ass pork chop. We've got a BDSM whip. And some cloves of garlic.
Cloves of garlic, BDSM whip and a pork chop. Is it pork chop, BDSM whip? What was the last one?
Some cloves of garlic.
Cloves of garlic. See, when you were first seeing it, I was thinking it was someone from Streets of Rage, because I thought pork chop, you meant like the meat that you eat. Then the whip, I was thinking of the whippy ladies. But the cloves of garlic is just leaning towards like Dracula.
Okay. You're getting warm.
Castlevania.
Ooh, very hot.
Is it Simon from Simon's Quest?
4 points for his full name.
Oh, Simon Belmont.
Congratulations, we got there in the end.
The only Castlevania I've really put time in was Lord of Shadows on the 360. I know everyone does that face, but I've never played any of the others, so I enjoyed it. But when
I wouldn't say it was a proper Castlevania. I mean, it's just God of War.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'd never played a Castlevania, so I wasn't like, this isn't a, you know, Metroidvania game. Like, I've actually just bought, because it's very expensive. You got loads of money, Tom. Bullshit. Castlevania Curse of Shadows on the PS2.
Oh yeah.
About 1890 or so. I got it for, but I've not played that yet. But is that a proper Castlevania or not?
I mean, it's not one of the most well known ones, but yeah. I think it's fairly respected. Yeah. I mean, you would need to play Symphony of the Night, and you need to play Symphony of the Night is an amazing game.
I've played the start of Symphony of the Night on my emulator, so I've softmodded my. I've softmodded it because I obviously own all these games and the official ones, PS1 Classic. So I've got like 200 PS1 games on there, and it's on there. And I played it, and I played the first bit. And sometimes with emulation, sound can be out because it's not taking as long to load as it would on the PS1. So the sound goes ahead, like the sound is behind the graphics because the graphics are running on better hardware and they go ahead. And I was like, I've heard this is an amazing game. I don't want to. Sort of make this shit. So I'm waiting for a nice cheap copy of.
You're not going to get a nice cheap copy of Symphony of the Night.
I know. But you never know. Turn up at a Sally Bash one day.
Going back to my roots.
A Sally Bash? You know what a Sally Bash is, don't you?
I doubt it. Going back to my roots, Castlevania Symphony of the Night is one of my favourite box arts. It's so epic.
It is good box art. But then saying that, like, I'm sure the Lord of Shadows box art, although you might not like the game, that's pretty cool as well.
It's all right. I mean, I like in that game, Patrick Stewart is the narrator.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
But I never he's got some there's a second sexy one as well, tones. Isn't
there? There's a second one?
Yeah, I didn't play that one, but I heard they kind of bring it into the modern day and it didn't get great reviews. Mm. I think the Game Boy Advance Castlevania games were awesome, like Aria of Sorrow. And there was just a plain like Castlevania one as well, and they were great. You can get those on the Switch for like really cheap. I recommend those.
See, I don't want to go back to like the original NES ones and stuff. I do have a NES and that, and if I bought like a cart only, I don't think it'd be that expensive. But I've heard how like ridiculous you used to have like have Nintendo Power to get through it, didn't it? You had to go next to a wall and like a whirlwind takes, but you would never do it if you were playing. So I think I'd want to play the ones where it's a little bit more. Was there any on the SNES?
Yeah, Castlevania 4, Castlevania Bloodlines, I think, was on the Mega Drive.
Mega Drive's Bloodlines.
Yeah, Castlevania 4 is really good. No, it's a great series. I really, really recommend it. Anywho, we're getting sidetracked because you're doing well. So we need to keep this momentum going. Okay, number three. Let's open this. This is more like a sort of weird chest. Like, we have some tattoo ink, a book of magic eye puzzles, and a therapist's appointment reminder card.
The magic eye book has thrown us. I used to have them as a kid, and I never once was able to see anything in them. Tattoo a chest with tattoo ink, a magic eye. What are we trying to allude there? That they can't see, or they can see like things? Like they can see things that we can't?
Ooh, I like it.
Okay, so someone can see things we can't as tattoos and sees a therapist. That could be a lot of people. Sees things we don't. I need a clue with this one. I need a clue.
Can I give a clue? It's got a sequel.
That's not a clue.
It narrows it down a bit.
Give us an era. An era would be nice.
PS4.
PS4 sees things we can't. Is it Senua?
Congratulations.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she sees things in environments that other people can't.
I've still not played that, and I still really want to.
It's really good. It's a really good game.
What about, haven't played the second?
No, I haven't played the second, but I think it has just come on PlayStation, because it was always on Xbox, but I think it's just moved over, right. So I am tempted. And yeah, she has psychosis, so she probably does see a therapist, an old witch doctor type
An
therapist in
old
the
witch
Norse
doctor.
mythology. I think it's Norse anyway. You could be going for the full house here, so let's throw a bit of a harder one in. Okay, we have a bingo card, a greatest hit CD of Steps, and some marijuana.
Marijuana, what? How did I say that? Bingo card and Steps. Right, I'm gonna think that the Steps is a clue towards a step song. No.
No.
It, right, okay. Is it someone who would like listening to Steps, or is it like they like stairs? I don't know.
Don't get too hung up on the whole steps,
Well,
as in literal steps.
I was gonna say, but the Step CD is the most unique thing in there.
Yeah,
So,
that's probably the more rogue clue,
all
I
right,
would
okay.
say.
So you've thrown us a red herring. Bingo, Steps. What was the last one? What was
Marijuana.
marijuana? Marijuana. Is it someone? Is it someone from Grand Theft Auto? No. Trying to think of characters that get high. It surely should be like an easy one. Surely there's not many. Give us an era.
He originally appeared on the PS1.
PS. Ooh. A stoner on the PS1. Bingo. What?
Who says he's a stoner?
Well, is it marijuana's the clue?
Yeah, but got to think about these a little bit more outside of the box. You're probably going to kick off
Oh.
massively about this one.
Oh well, that just tells us that it's going to be shit. Like you know what it is? You've had a good couple of rounds, and now people are only going to remember the last one, and it's going to be shit.
You were
And
doing
so,
too well
no,
for it to
you just
knock you
made up.
down a peg.
Have you just got like a list of the actual questions? And if I'm doing well, you've just got shit questions he definitely won't get, and you just knock one of them in. That's
I think the most obvious one is the bingo card.
bingo card, a PlayStation 1 character. That plays bingo.
I say he first appeared on the PS1.
What does that mean?
It means he's in multiple games, Wethead.
Wethead. What the fuck is wethead?
What you are.
Hurry, dry tits. I've got no idea. Unless you can give us another clue, we could be here all night.
No, I can't give you another clue.
Okay
It's
then.
Leon Kennedy.
Well, what? Why did you say that you didn't have a game on the PS1?
He did.
I know he did, but then when I said, "Oh, so he was in a game on the PS1," you went, "Well, he was. He showed up." I said he showed up there.
Yeah, I said originally he was on the PS1.
Right. So is the marijuana supposed to be the green herb?
There you go.
Right. Okay. Is the Stepsy's haircut?
Yeah, he looks like H from Steps.
What's the bingo card?
Oh, come on. His most famous line in Resi 4,
Fuck's
when all the
sake.
villagers fuck off and he's like, where's everyone going? Bingo? That's like up there with Jill Sandwich as
It's not as well known as Jill Sandwich. No,
it's a top tier Resi line.
I can see the link to the clues, so it's better than the Tinder round,
There we
definitely.
go. We're
But
back. We're comfortable now. Back you
yeah.
failing.
What, I've
So,
got three questions. Three out of four? Is there any
yeah. So
more?
we got one more.
Oh, here we go then. Here we go.
Okay. So this is a kind of sexy suitcase. It's
Oh,
going to open up. It goes. Oh.
okay. I'm trying to envisage what a sexy suitcase looks like.
Shiny one.
Yeah.
The combination is XXX. So we have a pair of sunglasses. We've
Okay.
got an energy drink. And oh God, what's this? It's a big, thick, shiny purple dildo.
Is it Tommy Vercetti?
No.
Oh. Is it Leisure Suit Larry?
Nope.
Oh. Am I thinking too literal? I can't think of any real games where a big. Did you say purple dildo? Does the colour matter?
Yeah, colour matters.
Because there's a big purple dildo in Grand Theft Auto, and that's the only one I think of. Is the one in Saints Row? Is it the...
You're very hot.
Oh, it's the guy with the shades. What was the middle clue?
Energy drink.
Is it Gak? Gat? The guy who becomes
president?
I'll give
you it. Johnny Gat from the Saints Row series.
Yeah, yeah. That was a better one. Yeah, I like that one. I mean, I don't know why with massive purple dildo I didn't go straight to Saints Row rather than Grand Theft Auto. Can you remember?
Saints Row, the big purple dildo in Saints Row 3, that was like a key weapon.
Yeah. So I'm saying I don't know why I didn't go straight for it, but my mind instantly went to my first gaming dildo. My first.
Because there's so many.
Can you remember in Vice City where it was?
Was it in the strip club?
No, it was in the showers in the police station.
They're so cheeky, aren't they?
They know exactly what
developers.
They are.
Congratulations, you got 4 out of 5, which is pretty good.
We're back, baby.
So we'll close this off and we'll forget it ever happened.
are we getting a twist on the end theme tune, or will it just be just dry?
We might get a little twist, a little variation.
Oh.
Da 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 da. We're back. And I still don't know the answer to that.
That way back had no accent at all. There wasn't any Macam in it. He just went, "We're back." Right, I'll give you a go. I'll say we're back. See if you can mimic it. You ready?
Yeah.
We're back.
We're back.
That was better than your normal accent.
Right, we'll try it then. We're back. And I still don't know the answer to that.
It still goes Yorkshire at the end every single time. And we wouldn't have it any other way. Yes, good trivia, because I did well in it. Let us know in the comments which one of those was shit. And do you agree with me? It was the one I didn't get. Anyway, our main feature for this week is we're talking about the hardest decisions to make in video games. And this came to my head because of a game I've been playing recently. How many did you come up with, Boxy?
I came up with quite a few, actually, because I find it quite difficult to narrow down, but I'm pretty sure one of them is probably one that you've chosen.
Okay.
So I've got 4 in the bag, so we'll just see how much time
we've
got.
Well, I've got 2, and then a discussion point.
Oh, dear. All right, okay. Do you want to go first?
Yes, I will. Well, the one that I'm going to talk about is Expedition 33. Now, jump ahead if you don't want any spoilers at all. Jump ahead, I'd say, like, 5-10 minutes, and then scroll back to when we start talking about something else. I'm not going to give too many spoilers anyway, because I don't want to spoil it, because I do want Boxy really to give his decision about it. But you've had your warning. A lot of the game and the whole main thread through it is to do with grief, and it's to do with grief from the start, and then the type of grief that it looks like changes throughout the game without you even knowing that it's coming, but it's grief from start to finish. And all I'll say, without hitting any story beats or anything like that, the decision, it's too new for me a game for to say it on a podcast or that, but a decision that you make at the very end of the game, and it's not a game that has choices in, like decisions of this happens and that, and then it changes the form. It doesn't have that in at all, but at the end you have one decision. And there are 2 options you can choose. And I wanted to do both. And I also didn't want to do both. And it's really hard without explaining it. And I think in a future episode we'll talk about it once you've actually played it and you've had your closer to 40 birthday. But it was a decision and a game I loved, and I was really invested in the story, where I thought, you know what decision I'm going to make now? I'm going to be truthful to myself and what I would do in this situation. And that's the decision I chose. And looking back on it and thinking about it, it's the wrong decision. And I chose like an easy way out. And it spoke to me and I was like, ah. Like, that's told me a lot about grief that I've had and grief that I'm probably still dealing with. Because I decided not just to think, oh, what do I want for the game? What ending do I want? I thought, what would I do? And I did it. And when I thought back about it and I saw what happened afterwards in the end cutscene and stuff like that, I was like, that's not the right decision. That's not what I need to sort of go forward with. And I am talking very smoke and mirrors, but it is the hardest decision I've had to make in a game, and it doesn't change the output of the game apart from the end cutscene. And obviously, instantly, I went on YouTube and looked at what the other option would have had. And it's, yeah, it just stuck with me, and that's why I want to talk about it. If you put in the comments and stuff like that, did you feel the same as me? Don't please spoil the game in any way in the comments. But did it make you feel like that as well? Because it's just, honestly, the story writing, oh, it's just a great game. And that's what inspired this decision. We can't really talk about it because I haven't been able to explain it to you.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a great one for a conversation piece.
It sounds really powerful, Tom, but I've got absolutely no idea what you're on about. but to be fair, you probably should have led with this. This kind of thing would make me want to play the game more because mm-hmm. it sounds like it really taps into your emotions yeah. and makes you feel something, which I'm all about. So.
But you went on a little break, had a little holiday, and I hadn't finished it, and I didn't know until I'd finished it, did I? Because the game from start to finish is grief. But I didn't realise that either till halfway through and go, well, it's been like this the whole time. So,
well,
yeah.
It does sound very interesting. And you've left me wanting more. So who knows? Maybe that will end up in my birthday present pile.
Go on, Sandfall. Hire me as your PR for your next game.
Well, I'm going to talk very openly about my ones without the smoke and mirrors and vagueness. Can I just ask, have you put Walking Dead in your list?
Yeah, that's my other one.
Okay, I won't talk about that one then.
Okay.
But just for, I'm guessing it's the moment with Lee. Yeah. But I put on mine the bit when the guy treads on the bear trap and you have to decide whether to cut his leg off or leave him for the zombies.
What did you do?
Cut his leg off.
Sorry, he's all good. Yeah, it is. Those are cool ones, like where it's like visceral and like you're chopping someone's leg off, but it's the right thing to do. They are cool decisions to have.
It's the decisions that say a lot about who you are as a person, whether you would take that responsibility or put your head in the sand, sort of thing. So, yeah, that was a really good one. Just because it's directed so well, I thought the method in which you cut your finger off in Heavy Rain. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really good one.
Because have you got to like move? Do you move the pad, or what is it you use? Because you like saw it, don't you?
You can use a few things. I think there's like an axe. You can use a saw. I think you can just bash it with like a blunt instrument. And there's a few ways you can do it. But yeah, the way it's all done, you have to like move the controller up and down for like the crack, and you hear all the crunching and. Mm-hmm. It's done really, really well. I mean, I think some of that game is pretty dumb, but that bit, I think, is flawless. But the one I will talk about the most is Spec Ops The Line, right at the end, where your character, Captain Walker, has gone insane. Spoilers. And
I like realize... he's went insane. Spoilers. You're supposed to say spoilers before you say he's went insane.
I've already said it, past the point of caring. Yeah. And you have to basically either fess up to the fact that you've gone rogue and you're the enemy, and you have a choice of either shooting yourself or shooting your delusion, which is a character who you've kind of created in your head. And no matter which one you do, game obviously ends if you shoot yourself, but if you... stubborn and want to carry on your delusion, mm-hmm. then you kind of wage a one-man war against the army who comes and tries to take you down for like an extra little bit of game at the end. But
I'm not
kind of reflects...
it. Is that like a bit like a Red Dead Redemption ending where you've got that many people, you can't take them down?
Yeah. But it's a really, really nice kind of send-off to a game where you aren't sure if you're doing the right thing or not, mm-hmm. but then it all comes to a head at the end and you realise that you're actually a monster, and it's whether you want to carry on being a monster or whether you take some responsibility and end things. And it was nice of a game. I think it has like three different endings. You can either kill yourself, you can shoot the character you've made up in your head, or you can shoot your reflection, and each one gives a different
ending. That's cool, man. I thought Spec Ops: The Line might not be on again, not playing it, but I know what type of game it is. I was thinking about it, but obviously not playing it. I was like, I don't know whether there are decisions in the game, you know what I mean, or whether it's just like a straight story. So, yeah. But the one you mentioned that I'm going to mention is obviously the end of Walking Dead Season 1, with Lee and Clementine. Again, spoilers if you want to play it, jump ahead. But you get to the end. Lee's been bit. You can choose to chop his arm off, can't you, to try and stop the infection, but it doesn't matter what you do, he still gets infected.
Yeah.
And you're in like a room locked with them, and there's zombies breaking in, and you can see he's going to turn, and he tells Clementine to shoot him and abscond, and then you've got that decision, do you shoot him or do you not? And it's all based on the relationship the two of them build up in all the previous episodes that you've played of making this decision. And again, it's that decision of, can I shoot and kill someone I love? Or do I take the easy way out? And I'm sure if you take the easy way out and run away, later on there's a scene where there's zombies shambling towards you and Lee's in it. It's like not a big thing, but he's just in the background. Do you let this person that you love turn into a zombie? But still be like, it's a really hard one. I think what makes it more powerful is the fact you're playing Clementine, who's just a kid, kid that has this massive decision to make, and it's just heartbreaking. And no right choice. It's just you either have to shoot the person you love, or you leave them to become a zombie. And I just think those are just so hard. I find it hard. Like, I'm a winner in life, and when there's no way to win, I don't know what to do. What do you mean? I kill him or he becomes a zombie? Nah. There's got to be a secret way out where I cure him. Like, I was brought up on too many happy stories as a kid, because sometimes when there's no happy ending in a game, I'm like, what's this? Surely there's some secret DLC where everyone goes home and has a nice time.
Oh, I love a bleak ending.
Oh, well, I think you do.
Yeah, but I think it's so brave of them. It shows they've got balls. It's like in Far Cry 5 when you think the villain is just some crackpot, but it turns out he's actually correct.
Yeah, and the world ends.
Apocalypse happens.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one. Have you got any more decisions you got in there?
Just one, which I thought it was a bit of a strange one, but I remember it being really difficult. It's Wolfenstein: The New Order. Have you played that?
Is that the first one? Like the first of those? There was that one, and then there was number two and New Blood as well. Yeah, I played that one.
Yeah, so right at the start, you get captured by Nazis, and there's
a psychotic
Nazi doctor called Death's Head, which is a great name. But he makes you decide on which one of your friends he's gonna kill, and you have to choose between a guy called Fergus, who's like a Scottish guy, or Wyatt, and it's really difficult. And then it kind of changes. Sorry?
Just kill the Scot. It's not a hard decision.
But
I have a lot of Scottish friends, by the way. I know we're trying to alienate every single possible person we've got on this podcast. I've got a lot of Scottish friends. That's a joke.
That's a PR response if I've heard one.
Where it is, I'm that far north. I'm more Scottish than I am English, to be fair.
Yeah, but you don't sound Scottish.
You don't sound like a Magnum, but you try to.
And yeah, whatever you decide to do, it changes the course of the game. And you can even change, I'm going to talk about this more in the next episode, but you can alter the course of the game in the second one as well, based on your decisions.
I didn't know that because I've not played the second one yet, because I picked the second one up. I loved the first one, but when I got the second one, I was still a platinum hunter. And there's a trophy on that called Mein Leben, which is my life. And you've got to go through the whole game on the hardest difficulty setting with permadeath, and you can't stop and save. You have to do it in one sitting. And because I didn't want to not have that trophy, I never played it, but I really do. And now I'm not trophy hunting. I've got to go back to it.
Yeah, I've literally just finished it, but I'll talk about it on the next episode in more detail. Yeah. But I will say, for a run-of-the-mill first-person shooter, it is fucking hard. So. Yeah. My hat goes off to anybody who has got the platinum on that game. I mean, that sounds impossible.
Yeah, there's a lot of like tactics. Like, if you're doing that, you're not just playing through the game. You watch other people do it. There's certain places to sit. There's certain and things like that. But you've still got to learn it and do it perfect, you know, through the whole game. I know it's not a massively long game. But every now and again in my head, I go, do I start trying to do that on stream? Because the mental breakdowns that I would be having would be epic. But yeah, and I'm sure you get a different weapon or power up depending on who you take out as well. Is that right?
You get different abilities. So I think if you save one of them, you get a lock picking ability. And if you get another one, then it's another perk. Yeah. I can't remember what one, but.
Yeah. Is that all yours? Because I've got my talking point.
Your talking point, yeah. Go for it then.
For me, I don't think there's really any hard decisions in video games. I was trying to think about this. The two that I've mentioned were the only in 30 years of playing games or more. Those were the only two that I thought were hard. That have dragged us in and pulled us. And I've got games that have pulled us in, but maybe they don't have choices and stuff. Any other choices, like that one there, I probably looked up which was the best perk to have and just went, bang, yeah, go. That game hadn't pulled me in to know those characters enough in order to sort of do it. Heavy Rain, none of the choices in there were like, made us do it. I was like, yes, I'm going to cut his finger off because I want the best ending. And to get the best ending, I've got to do everything that I need to do in there. I always make the choices based on, do I want the good ending in the game or the bad ending in the game or what is it? And I go, right, Red Dead, I'm being a good person, I'll make the decisions the good way, or I'm being a bad person, I'll make them that way. And they're never hard for me, really. And I think playing Expedition 33 and that choice being actually like, fuck, what do I do, made us think, oh, games don't really make me feel like that.
I mean, I think they're hard in the sense that, as you said, you really want the good ending or you want the game to progress as much as possible. And if you make a bad decision, then it could fuck things up, like in Heavy Rain. If you make one bad decision, you could lose a character and then it changes the whole story and then you have to go back to square one. But yeah, I kind of agree.
And I also think the bigger choices, the harder choices, are in games where you don't have a choice. So games where, like Mass Effect, where you're choosing stuff all the time and stuff like that, you're normally probably in your head going to go, I'm going to be a paragon, or I'm going to be, I can't remember what the other one is, if you're being an arsehole. And you're doing those things because you want to up and you want to get those skills. I mean, there will be people who play them as an RPG and think, right, this is me, this is the type of character I am, and this is how I'm going to play the game. But I think there are some people, and even then, though, it makes it easy because you think, well, I'm an arsehole, so that's what I do, or I'm this, and this is what I would do. Whereas, when you mention Spec Ops The Line, are there choices through the game apart from that?
From what I remember, yes, but they're kind major. Of... It's a bit of smoke and mirrors. Like it makes you feel like you have a choice, but it's not really.
Yeah,
the same. It's the same outcome. Like you go crazy.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of times in Expedition 33 where you can pick one or the other, but it doesn't really matter. But then you have one choice at the end. And I think that allows the writers to create a better narrative and drag you in. Like, I think at The Last of Us or The Last of Us 2, if they'd put a choice at the end of one of those games, that would have been hard for me. I don't think it would have been hard if it was save Ellie or let her sort of be operated on and get the cure, because I think I would have saved Ellie, like, because it's built up so hard. But then it's getting you to choose an option you know is wrong, like, the greater good, you know what I mean?
I always thought it'd be interesting, because I used to do it with comics a lot, that they used to ask the audience what they would want to happen to like a character. So like Jason Todd died because the readers voted for him to die. Yeah. And I thought, like, okay, take your example, Last of Us. Say if at the end of the game you had a decision of whether to save Ellie or not, and then based on the majority of the choices, Naughty Dog turned around and said, well, look, the majority of people saved Ellie, so we're going to make The Last of Us Part 2 off of that decision, you know?
Yeah, that's really
good. I just thought it would be a cool thing to do for sequels.
Because I always liked that in, was it Walking Dead, where you'd get the end of a chapter and we'll tell you the percentages of what choices people have made.
Yeah, so and you realise that you're, like, crazy and weird because you picked the one.
You're in the 1% of every single one. You're like, I need to see someone.
The funniest one is in Detroit Become Human. Mm-hmm. Like, David Cage clearly is quite a talented guy, but he is very full of himself. And at the end of Detroit Become Human, they do like a player survey where they say, did any of these things affect you on a personal level, any of these themes and topics? And like 95% of people said no.
Yeah. No, not at all. I've actually
Yeah.
made a video just about how full of himself David Cade is from the Fahrenheit stream. Because at the
Yeah.
start of Fahrenheit, it doesn't say new game, it says new movie. And I'm like, what is this prick? It's not, it's PS2. You know what I mean? It's not, it's there's like new movie. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, in the comments, let us know. Do you agree with us in regards to choices not being that hard? Or what choices we picked? If you were going to choose a hardest choice in video games, what would you put? Knock it down in the comments. Anyway, what everyone has been really missing, it is the best podcast online trivia, cryptic clue, whatever you want to call it, of all time, Game Busters. It's back, baby. Now you've there's a lot of people probably went insane wanting to know what the last Rockbusters was. I will read it again and then I will ask you, Boxy. Do you have a Scooby-Doo? It was that musical instrument's digital interface just joined the Third Reich.
Well, considering how long we've been away, I've had a long time to try and figure this out, and I still haven't got it. Like, I don't know any game which finishes with Nazi, or if that's what we're going with. And the digital interface, Diva, AV,
See, this
1080,
is it.
like.
This is it. You just don't. This is why you're not a real musician, right? Because Liam from The Record, who was on the episode, sent me a message literally straight away and was like, "This is the first one I've ever got, and I got it straight away," because he knows about music, and that musical instrument digital interface is MIDI.
MIDI Nazi.
What
MIDI.
adjective would you use to describe Nazis?
Evil.
See it together.
Medieval. Oh, God.
Don't say, oh God, because you didn't know what MIDI was. Why do you not know what MIDI was? You're like from my era and you do sound and music and stuff like that. MIDI?
I mean, I play the drums, as you say, I'm not a real musician.
But I think I know MIDI more because I used to play PC games back in the 90s and like games like Final Fantasy VII, so that all the audio would be MIDI on the PC and you'd have to have your MIDI controller and stuff like that. But it's music, it's a really good one.
Medieval. I think that game's overrated, personally.
Now, this one, you will absolutely rage at me next week when I give you the answer. Are you ready?
Okay.
The man who had years of experience is peanut lit up his penis lit up next to the old oak covered in shit. You ready?
Again, yeah.
The man who had years of experience, his penis lit up next to the old oak tree covered in shit.
Okay.
Haven't got a clue, have you?
Well, I'll let it fester in my brain for a week and
This
see if I get any bright ideas.
is the one I'm really proud of. Like, this is a really good one, and I want you to give me my flowers when I tell you what it is.
It's going to be really obscure, isn't it?
It is not really obscure. I'm not giving you a clue because I want people to genuinely get it. I'll give you some clues when we get there next week. Anyway, thank you so much for coming back to listen to us. If there's anyone listen, we could check the analytics and everyone's just fucked off. But if you have listened, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Can we just say we do have an Instagram, we do have a YouTube, we do have a TikTok now. Now, the only problem with them is, as of speaking, we have no content on them at all. We've just made them and they're just there. But if you could drop us a follow before we have anything on them, that would really make us feel good. Now, at the minute, I'm trying to fill time and expand what I'm seeing on because I'm trying to find our username. And I don't know why it took me that long because our username is 30 something gamers.
Never would have guessed that.
It's a 330 something gamers. There might be some stuff on when you get there. A YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, 30 something gamers. We are going to get something there eventually, including all of the backlog of podcasts on the YouTube. Because, oh, the YouTube, I'm such an old fucking man. Because yeah, some people like to listen to them on there, you know. I don't know. I listen to podcasts on YouTube. So, yeah, drop your followers on there. Drop us 5 stars. Not much. Drop us a comment. I don't know. Send us a fiver through the post. Thank you very much for joining us. We have missed this. And Boxy, this is the only time I'll be nice. I have missed you. I'll see you next week.
I miss you too, bud. See you next one.